The Chiselers, Agnes Brown, Book 2. Written and read by Brendan O'Carroll.
The alarm clock blared at 4 a.m. the next morning. Agnes stretched her arm out and felt around on her bedside locker before landing on the clock to switch it off. She couldn't open her eyes. The lids felt like they were glued together. She had had just 3 hours sleep, having waited up for Frankie until 1 a.m. to try and talk to him. He hadn't arrived by then, so she went to bed. Slowly she rose and reset the alarm for 6:30. On her way to the bathroom, she tiptoed into the boys' room and gently placed the ticking clock beside Mark. The boys now all had a mattress each, thanks to Mark. He had bought some plain deal and webbing from Mr. Wyers at wholesale prices, and the boys' room now had 6 built-in bunks, 3 against each wall. All 6 boys were asleep. Agnes had to stretch up a little to look into Frankie's bunk. He was there, sleeping, and her nose tingled at the smell of stale cider. He was also fully clothed. She bit her bottom lip and closed her eyes. And then she sighed deeply and left the room, shutting the door gently behind her. 1¾ hours later, Agnes was in Moore Street, throwing up the canvas roof over her stall. Agnes took her break at 10 a.m, leaving Fat Annie to mind the stall. It took her just 5 minutes to walk to Dublin Corporation's housing section in Jervis Street. She was not prepared for the sight that met her when she arrived there. It was absolute bedlam. It seemed that every resident in Zone 1 had arrived simultaneously to protest. The hallways were chock-a-block with people, all chattering and grumbling. Halfway down the hallway, standing beside a bench, was a tall man with silver-grey hair in a suit, shirt and tie, and wearing bifocals. Most of the complaints and abuse seemed to be aimed at him. Agnes recognised Bertie Kerrigan from St. Charlotte Street. The Kerrigans had lived in Dublin's inner city for nigh on 100 years. Bertie looked frightened and confused.
"Good morning, Bertie. This is bloody awful," Agnes said to her.
"Coolock, Agnes. Fucking Coolock. Where the fuck is Coolock, Agnes?"
"I know, love. It's dreadful."
Agnes tried to console her, but Bertie went on.
"The kids will never find their way home. I can't even fucking spell Coolock."
Agnes linked Bertie's arm and patted her on the shoulder, knowing that Bertie couldn't even spell town. But no matter. She understood what Bertie meant. There must have been 100 people there, just like Bertie, panicking and worrying about their future. To the officials in the corporation, it was just relocation. But to these people who'd been part of Dublin's inner city for all of their lives, it was akin to deportation. Eventually, the silver-haired man and the bifocals stood up on the bench and started stamping his heel. He raised his arms in the air and he cried, "Silence, please! Will everybody please calm down?" Gradually, the halls quietened and all heads turned to the corporation man.